Well, we're going to read from the Gospel of John, John and chapter 6, focusing on the bread of life. We're going to read from verse 25 down to the verse marked 51. This is after, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus feeding, the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And then Jesus walking on the water. And now we come to the people who have been desperate to find him after these incredible things, into verse 25, where they found him. Let's read together. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed of him breaking the 5 loaves and 2 fish into being able to feed thousands of people, not because of the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." And so they asked him, What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." I don't know what kind of life you might live and what lifestyle you have, but if you ever find yourself in a survival situation, remember the rule of threes. 3 minutes, 3 days, 3 weeks. You can survive 3 minutes without oxygen. You can survive 3 days without water. You can survive 3 weeks without food. And survival. Life or death is the theme of today's passage. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus said these words, "I am the bread of life," bread meant survival. Bread is not just a nice sourdough loaf that you learned how to bake through lockdown. Bread meant life or death. And so over the coming months, I'm going to preach on the different "I am" sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of John, focusing on who Jesus is in his own incredible words. Starting with when he says this, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." Eat bread, you live. Believe in Jesus, you live. That's how essential he is. Without oxygen, you won't make it past the next 3 minutes. Without water, you won't make it past Wednesday. Without food, you won't make it to February. Without Jesus, you might not make it past now. You won't make it past death. You won't avoid hell and judgment for all the sin in our hearts. It's life or death. And as we focus on these words, "I am the bread of life," first of all, I'd like to focus on eating. Eating first. First point, eating is believing. So belief and unbelief, these are the main ideas of this chapter. The chapter begins with this amazing miracle where, faced with a hungry crowd of over 5,000, Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and provided enough food for thousands to eat their fill and be satisfied. A real moment highlighting the unique power of Jesus to prove he is the creator of literally everything. It's not difficult. It's not illogical to realize if the creator, if he is the creator of it all, it is nothing to him to duplicate the atoms, the molecules of a few loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed everyone. Obviously, they're really taken with Jesus. What an impressive thing. Verse 14, they say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. This is the prophet. This is the leader. This is the one we should be listening to." In verse 15, they're ready to make him king by force. And then in verse 22 and 24, they wake up the next morning to find that Jesus is gone. And the night before, he and the disciples had taken a boat. Well, actually, he didn't take a boat initially. He walked on the water to follow the disciples. They went to find him the next morning. He was gone. And so they commandeered a whole fleet of boats, and they made a 10-mile journey to go get to him. They want Jesus' help. They're interested. They want his guidance. They really think Jesus will add to their life. But Jesus takes this positive crowd, eager crowd, and he deliberately pushes and pushes and pushes for more. Because interest, if you're interested in Jesus, if you admire Jesus, if you think there are benefits to Jesus, if you want to interact with Jesus, it's not enough. In fact, in this chapter, Jesus is willing to push some away entirely if it will push some of them to the kind of belief that leads to eternal life. It's life or death. And the pushing begins in verse 26. "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils. Jesus is being pretty clear. It's black and white. Life or death. Eat or starve. With Jesus, there is no gray area. So he relentlessly pushes them towards the light through the pain threshold of the truth. By that, I mean Jesus takes the painful truths of how exclusive he is, how absolutely convinced and brutally honest he is about salvation. He takes that truth and he pushes through what's comfortable for them to hear. He makes it obvious. And you can see why he gets such strong reactions. Because really their agenda for Jesus, it's all about the now. It's all about them. Immediate solutions. Freedom from hunger, freedom from pain, freedom from politics, freedom from the mundane. And Jesus shockingly writes that down as little more than faith in free food. That's all you have. You've got like a bread faith. The faith that you have, as interested as you are, you're chasing after me. And all it is just faith in free food. You just want the stuff. Yesterday, he saved them from a whole load of shopping. He saved them from cooking dinner for themselves. That's lovely. Is that what church is? We heard so much about this morning. It's a great thing that we get to be together. It's a great thing when we enjoy hospitality and share life together. Great. But is that the extent of our faith in Jesus? What will he do for me today? And so he pushes them to see beyond the bread, the things, to what the bread miracle was saying about him. He says in verse 27 that all their efforts to come to him is just, they're working for food that spoils. It's just temporary, temporal, to do with this now, life now. They're caught up with the now. It's just short term. But Jesus is really all about the food that fulfills now and lasts for all eternity. And so they ask in verse 28, they kind of get it. They go with him and they go, okay, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And they understand that he's claiming that that's him. So in verse 31, they ask for a sign, prove it. Hey, Moses gave our ancestors a sign. They had manna, this bread that fell from the sky, this miracle bread that appeared every morning when they were in the wilderness, when they were out journeying through life. And so you think, oh, this seems to be a progress. They've gone beyond thinking about their next meal. Now they're asking for a sign. It's like one of those moments where maybe you begin to really wrestle with God, really wrestle with what the Bible is saying to you. You didn't used to think about anything to do with Jesus before, but you've heard about him. Maybe you grew up hearing about him. Maybe it's something you heard in Sunday school. Maybe it's just something your grandparents taught you. It's just a few sentences, a few little truths here and there about God, about Jesus. And so you start to think, God, prove it. Prove to me you're real. Prove to me that you can help me and change me. Prove to me that I should believe in you. The funny thing is, they're still digesting that miraculous meal from the night before. And they're demanding the exact sign that Jesus gave them yesterday. Give us free bread. Give us free things. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it. And they're blind. But we can't mistake that kind of excitable thinking with real faith either. For example, 1 year before this, because this was a time of Passover. 1 year before this at a different time. In John chapter 2, John says, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. They saw it. They believed. And you might think, brilliant. Job done. Jesus has done an amazing thing. And people believed in the miracle. And now they're Christians and everything is fine. But then John adds, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. It's like a play on words. They believe in him. He didn't believe in them. They believe in him because he did signs. He did cool things, impressive things, wonderful things. But he didn't believe in them. Because what that means is that he knows what people are like. That this kind of faith is inclined to keep asking for more and more signs. The kind of faith that is just never satisfied. Always looking for a bigger, better things. Always looking for more proof, more proof, more proof. And then it starts to fade away. It's big, it's emotional, it's bold, it's wrestling. But it fades. And that kind of interaction with Jesus, this kind of faith, is not the faith that leads to eternal life. So Jesus keeps on pushing. Verse 33, he says that actually the real bread he's talking about is different from the manna, that miracle bread in the Old Testament. He's talking about bread from heaven, bread off heaven. And again, they respond well. They go, sir, verse 34, always give us this bread. And that's when Jesus says those special words. I am the bread of life. What you're looking for? This bread you're asking for? It's me. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He'll say in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. I am the bread. It's at this stage they grumble. They've come so far. They're asking for proof. They're asking for signs. They're so interested in Jesus. They're so intrigued. They want him to be their leader. They wanted to make him king by force. And then he goes and says, you need to eat me. You need to consume me. I am the living bread. Believe in me. Me, me, me. And they walk away. They began to grumble. They began to walk away. Verse 66 even says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They can take church when it's all the added on stuff. And they want church to be about all the added on stuff. But Jesus brings the whole thing back to him. I am what you're looking for. I am what you need. I am what you're desires are searching for. I am what your appetite is yearning for. Me. Let's stop here and focus on this. Eating turns out to be a very helpful metaphor for faith. So people might say things like, oh, I wish I had your faith. And that means, well, it means that sometimes they're just saying, I wish I had your delusion. Sometimes people talk about taking blind leaps of faith. But instead, what Jesus sees is a row full of dinner plates in front of you. In front of every human being in the world, there is a row full of dinner plates in front of you. And he is inviting you to eat. Faith in Jesus is not a leap of faith into the dark. Faith is accepting food from Jesus, picking it up, receiving it, putting it in your mouth, chewing and swallowing, trusting him the way you trust your next meal to feed you. The way you trust that bite of food as you put it in your mouth, you trust this is going to give you life. You trust this is going to be good for you. You trust this is going to feed you and keep you going, let you live. And in the same way, you trust that piece of food. Jesus is right there in front of you. And faith is eating, accepting, trusting. Not a blind leap of faith, but seeing the splendor right there in front of you. This divine buffet, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a crowd that are actually coming to listen to Jesus. And in that way, you could say that this crowd is a stand-in for church-going people. And that means that food is a very helpful illustration. You watch a little kid not wanting to eat, playing with his food. Have you been like that? Are you toying with Jesus? You're toying with him. You're going to play with him on your own terms. You're going to push him around your plate, your plate. You're not going to eat it. You're going to fight from eating it. You're just going to play with your food. Are you Instagramming your food? Making it all look nice and fancy. Making it all look impressive. Taking a picture, showing it off. Do you come to church for show? Do you come to church to impress your parents? Do you come to church to impress a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Do you come to church to impress? I don't know what you're here for. Are you toying with your food? Are you taking pictures of your food? Or are you eating? Because food is really for eating. You eat or you don't eat. You live or you die. I'm pretty sure we all ate something this afternoon. You put something in your mouth. You ate it. You chewed it. You swallowed it. You moved on. But right now, that food is at work inside of you. And there are enzymes and fluids and organs at work right now, giving you life for another few hours. That's what faith in Jesus is like. It's life and death. It's trusting in him to live, like you trust in food to live. Not just, here are some aspects of the Christian life, here's the benefits, or here's some of his teaching. It's not just intellectually recognizing the evidence and the signs. It's to eat it up. It's to trust him to give you life and nothing else. He is the food. He is the bread of life. Nothing else will give you life. He's the bread that you need to eat to be alive. Even if you've been interested in Jesus, even if you've been listening to Jesus, even over these last few months, last few years, or your whole life, you've been interested in Jesus, maybe. You've prayed, you've listened, you've been involved in church life. Maybe you've called yourself a Christian now or once upon a time. You've professed faith in the past. Maybe you've been a member. But are you eating? Have you eaten? Do you believe in him for all your life? Eating is believing. Secondly, in this chapter, eat Jesus and live forever. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And we focused on just the act of eating bread. But what else is Jesus saying when he calls himself, I am the bread of life? eat Jesus, and live forever. Because bread in this chapter is more than just a nice slice of bread. He's not just saying, look, if you're hungry, I'll satisfy you. I'll fulfill your desires. He's actually, with these words, saying something way, way bigger. A dog is not just for Christmas. This bread of life is not just for tonight. Way, way more than this. The clues are all there for the people who are listening. Because right through this chapter, beginning with that miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and all this reference to bread and fulfillment and the 12 baskets and everything else, it takes them all right back to the Exodus of the Old Testament when Moses led the people out of slavery in Egypt through the wilderness and into the promised land. And they knew the story of Moses and the manna bread in the desert that kept them alive as they journeyed from Egypt to the promised land. And they want Jesus to be a Moses to them when they said, this is the prophet we've been waiting for. This is the prophet who is to come. They want Jesus to be a Moses for them. Lead us out of slavery. Lead us out of a difficult life. Please make life easier and better for us. Rescue us. Lead us. But they forgot that the Old Testament story of the Exodus was not just about Moses and bread. Verse 32, Jesus said to them, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. He's not the main character in that story, guys. What? He didn't give you that bread. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. The focus needs to come off this prophet, this leader, and onto God. And when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, that phrase, I am, is how God introduced his name all the way back in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. That's his name. And John chapter 6 keeps explaining to us that Jesus is much, much more than a leader, much, much more than a Moses. He's way, way bigger than someone who can just satisfy your desires right now. He is our God. He is the Lord. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the I Am. He exists at all points, holding the whole universe together simultaneously. He is outside of time and space, holding time and space. He's got the whole world in his hands. He is the I am, not the I was. He is. He's not a single slice of Tesco value white bread. Jesus combines the meaning of life now and where you go to die. He says, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread, whoever believes in me will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I will die to give you life. And so Jesus is everything that Old Testament Exodus story pointed to. He is the beginning of the story when they were rescued from slavery and death and God's judgment on sin in the Passover. Because they were stuck in slavery in Egypt. But God came sending the angel of death in judgment on all. But if they killed a lamb, eating its flesh, spreading its blood on the door, and eating the unleavened bread, if they ate that meal, God would pass over that house from his judgment. That meal, that lamb, that bread represented their rescue from God's judgment. That eating was salvation. That's the beginning of their journey. And then on the journey, as they are so amazingly rescued, they become God's people. God's rescued people. on the journey, God keeps feeding them, sending that bread, that miracle manna bread, to help them survive as they journey towards the promised land. But Jesus, this story, this bread, it's also the destination. Because the bread that satisfies in the desert is just a tiny foretaste of the food that God has planned in the land that flows with milk and honey. Bread is the basic for survival. It's life or death. Flowing with milk and honey is the extravagant banquet that they have always yearned for. That's where the Old Testament story of the Exodus, that's where all these references to bread and Moses and rescue, that's where it's all leading. God takes these ideas of feeding his people and he makes it clear that Jesus is the new Exodus. He is the Exodus. So what's Jesus going to do? What kind of bread is he? I am the bread of life, and life forevermore, and life for all eternity. And I will bring you, when I raise my people on the last day, I will bring them into the banquet hall of eternal satisfaction and wonder and glory, where we will worship our Lord forever. So this, I am the bread of life, it is way, way bigger than the here and now. It's to live now and forever. Eat Jesus and live forever. Believe in Jesus and live forever. Believe in Jesus and start this journey where you will be saved and fed by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be fed by him every single day as he sustains you. He is with you. We depend on him for life. Every day we depend on him. He's not just some random meal we had 5 years ago. He is our daily bread. And he will be our banquet. He is the reason we want to go to heaven. Because here's the one who can satisfy. Here's the one who is the I am. Will you come to him and eat? The thing about food is that you probably don't remember every meal. Some have been bland and boring, but you're alive because you eat and you have been eating in the past. You might not remember everything that God has done for you. You might not remember every sermon, and certainly some of them will have been boring and bland. But he keeps you alive. His word, his Jesus, keeps you alive. Jesus keeps us alive, giving us his life every day. You are alive in Jesus because he is the bread of life now and forever. And just like Kate said in that video, and I have it here to say, this is providence. Those who eat this bread are to be like beggars showing others where to find the free bread. The church isn't the bread. Like we heard this morning, as good as it is, the friendships and the sense of purpose and the sense of community, that isn't what you ultimately need. Jesus is the I am. Jesus is the bread of life. Eat him. Have all the friends you want here. You might have loads, you might have none. This might be your 100th time, it might be your first time. Doesn't matter. Jesus is the one you need. We might let you down. We might be great in your eyes. Jesus is the one you need. Jesus is the one you eat. Don't rely on me for food. Don't rely on me for friendship. Don't rely on me in my character We can't rely on each other ultimately because we will and we do fail each other. We are sinful, broken, flawed, weak people, but Jesus is the I am. He is the bread. Stop feeding on each other. Stop devouring each other. Feed on Christ. So stop toying with your food. Being interested in Jesus isn't enough. Praying and going to church and listening to him isn't enough. Jesus pushes and pushes to full personal trust in him. The I am, the bread, the life forever. So eat him. Trust him for life. Because this is life or death. Whether you have 3 minutes left, whether you have 3 days left, whether you have 3 weeks left, whether you have 30 years left, if you believe in Jesus, you will have all the food you need to live now and forever. So eat and live. Keep eating and live, and you will feast for all eternity. Amen.